Welcome to the Good Old Days of Radio Show. This will be our special show for Easter. Easter is coming up on Sunday, and we have a unique program for Easter today. It's an episode of Cavalcade of America, which I think we've had one other one in the past. I'm not sure, but I think we have. Cavalcade of America was a mostly dramatic show that dealt a lot with historical events and events in the history of America, but they would occasionally go on and do other things. In this particular one, you're going to hear the story of a pastor who dared to stand up to Adolf Hitler. And while that doesn't exactly sound like an Easter story, trust me, it's an Easter story, and you'll see when you hear it. So, it's got a cast of all kinds of classic radio voices, with the star being Paul Lucas, who appeared on Suspense and a lot of other shows. But there's a lot of great radio voices in here, including Will Geer, who went on to be in The Waltons in the 70s and 80s, Jackie Kelk, a kid actor, Ted Jewett, Edward Sloan. Anyway, lots of vintage radio people. Listen for the Sound of Wings is the title, from April 19th, 1943.
The Cavalcade of America, sponsored by the DuPont Company, maker of better things for better living through chemistry, presents Paul Lucas as Pastor Martin Niemöller of Berlin in an original radio play, Listen for the Sound of Wings. Holy Week, the year of our Lord, 1943. Out over the American land, the bells ring loud and clear in celebration of the most sacred feasts of the world's two great religions. Under the sign of the cross and under the six-pointed star of Israel, men and women of goodwill are reaffirming this week a basic right of American citizenship. The right of every man to worship after the manner of his believing. But in Nazi Germany, this right no longer exists. So our play on Cavalcade tonight tells the story of one man who dared to pit his iron will against the will of Adolf Hitler. He stands as a symbol of the religious freedom we fight for. His name is Martin Niemöller. Our play, called Listen for the Sound of Wings, is based in part on documental facts and on material gleaned from the silent shadows of the concentration camp where Martin Niemöller is today confined. It was written by Arthur Miller, and Paul Lucas stars in the role of Pastor Martin Niemöller in Listen for the Sound of Wings on the Cavalcade of America, sponsored by DuPont. The year 1933, the day before Germany's last election. Adolf Hitler and his lieutenants are sitting in their Berlin office. They are quiet. They are waiting for a visitor.
It is 3 o'clock, Adolf.
Yes, he is always prompt. Himmler, stay in the next room. I want you here, Rudloff, von Rosenberg, you, Goering, Goebbels, and Hess. Now, understand this. When he enters, we will all rise and salute him according to his rank as former U-boat commander. Remember, Rosenberg, this is no village parson. Pay him every respect, even above me. He must endorse the party for tomorrow's elections. His voice carries into every church in Germany.
Pastor Martin Niemöller is here, mein Führer.
Show him in. On your feet now. Herr Commander Niemöller, welcome.
At your ease, meine Herren. I have been out of the Navy for 20 years. You mustn't salute me.
It was automatic, Herr Pastor. a man looks at you and wants to salute.
I am flattered, Herr Hitler. But I've come for other business.
Good. Have a chair. Between soldiers, there is no need for small talk, Herr Pastor. You understand, of course, that Germany is at the 11th hour.
That I understand, Herr Hitler. But something else I do not understand.
I am at your service, Herr Pastor.
When your Nazi party began its propaganda, we of the church understood that you were trying to change Germany back to what she was before 1914.
Herr Pastor, in Germany, once we are in power, the priest and the minister will stand beside the government again. Not like an orphan left to pick crumbs in the streets. First and foremost, a Nazi is a Christian, Herr Pastor.
Good, that is good. But tell me then, why do you make propaganda against religion?
Simple, Herr Pastor. We are realists. A Nazi does not live in the clouds. The atheism we preach sometimes is purely a tactic. In other words, a strategic lie, Herr Pastor.
But a lie is a lie, Herr Hitler. And I cannot go with liars.
But if a man lies in order to bring a great good, is there not some honor in it? And could he not be a good man after all?
But your stormtroops, they have beaten people. I have heard they murder.
This is propaganda from the Bolsheviks. This is not true. Well, what about it? Are you for us or against us?
That depends on you, Herr Hitler. If you swear to me that no violence will be used to influence the elections tomorrow, and no violence once you are in power, I will guarantee my support.
Herr Niemöller, I give you my oath as a soldier. So far as I am able to prevent it, there will be no violence on the part of my Nazis.
A soldier's oath, I trust.
Then we may announce your support of our party at once.
On that condition, you may do so.
From this moment, Herr Niemöller, Germany moves toward Christ.
For that I pray God, Herr Hitler. Hessler, what is it?
My son. They're after my son. He was making a speech against Hitler. The stormtroopers broke into the meeting. I told him to come here, Herr Pastor. I told him you'd let him hide in the church.
Frau Hessler, are you sure he did nothing more than make a speech?
Herr Pastor, my husband has been sexton of this church for 15 years. We did not raise a lawbreaker. The Nazis are beating up people all over Berlin tonight.
Oh, but Hitler himself gave me his word there would be no violence.
Come to the window, Herr Pastor. Across the street. You see them. Sitting in the car there.
Machine guns?
Yes.
They've got machine guns.
They followed me here, Herr Pastor. They'll use those guns to shoot down my son like a dog in the street unless you will help.
What can I do, Frau Hessler?
Go down. Wait for him outside the church door. They won't dare open fire if you are standing there.
Very well. For you, I will do it, Frau Hessler.
Oh, I knew you would, Herr Pastor. I told my husband you weren't really with the Nazis.
Frau Hessler, I must tell you the truth.
Herr Pastor, there he is now. Rounding the corner quickly. Wave to him. Show him you know him.
Herr Pastor. Herr Pastor.
Murder. Cold-blooded murder. I made a covenant with a murderer. I'll break that covenant, break it in his face.
I cannot understand you, Adolf. He preaches against you every Sunday. It is known, it is common knowledge. Do you want the country to think that the Nazi party is afraid of Niemöller?
Himmler, I am not afraid of Niemöller.
Then why is he free? The other priests who fought you, they are where they belong. We are not in power 2 days. This is 3 years we have Germany. Give him to me. He only needs to have his head twisted around, this parson.
Now listen to me, Himmler. All of you listen. We cannot wipe religion out in a day. It must be drawn out of Germany as a slow heat draws infection from a wound. Niemöller is that heat. Before we are through with him, he will bend the cross over his pulpit until it is a swastika. I do not know yet just how we will accomplish this. He is very strong, this man. I must understand him. I must win his soul.
Herr Pastor, there is a gentleman to see you.
I must start services, Fräulein. I have no time for visitors on Sunday mornings.
But, Herr Pastor, it is Herr von Ribbentrop.
Von Ribbentrop? I thought he was in England. Well, show him in.
I will keep you only a minute, Herr Pastor.
Well, I never expected to see you so close to a church, Joachim.
Neither did I, but as a matter of fact, I have come, Niemöller, to become again a member of your parish.
This is a surprise. A Nazi, a confirmed pagan like yourself, suddenly turning to Christ. Tell me, what's happened to change your mind?
Couldn't we dispense with the explanations? I've come to join the church.
This is not a drinking club, Joachim. A certain degree of sincerity is required. Explanations are in perfect order.
Very well, then. I am, as you know, ambassador to England. On Sundays, the other ambassadors all go to their respective churches. It is a disadvantage not to be affiliated with some religious order. In short, it is a matter of state.
And you, or I should say Hitler, expects me to accept you on this basis.
It will be to your advantage.
Herr von Ribbentrop, last night all the churches in Lübeck were closed down. It is forbidden to preach the Christian gospel in Lübeck. And today I am to admit you, a member of the government that did that, into my church.
Perhaps I should have said it is required. Herr Niemöller, this is your last chance to escape arrest and prison.
For what crime?
For treason. Recordings of your last 8 sermons are now being played back in Herr Hitler's office. There have been hidden microphones in your church.
I know that. I knew it the first day they put them there. Well, give my sentiments to Hitler and tell him that if he has a Christian in his ranks, he may send him to join my church. But since he has none, I will admit no Nazis to membership. Good day, mein Herr. I have a sermon to deliver.
Don't deliver it, Herr Pastor.
I beg your pardon.
It will be your last. 5 Gestapo men are seated in your church. They have orders to make the arrest if you criticize the state again.
Then it truly is the end.
Not if you come to your senses.
Unfortunately, Herr von Ribbentrop, I came to my senses too late. Stand aside.
Don't deliver that sermon, Herr Niemöller.
You did not really believe I would surrender my guard without a fight, did you? You are preparing for a battle with me, are you not?
Yes, I suppose we are.
Then let it begin. Go back to Hitler and tell him that as long as I have a tongue in my head, I will damn him and all his works. Mark me, Nazi. My soul breathes fire today. Before Adolf Hitler or Lucifer himself, I will not break. Now stand aside. Good people, there is only one question now. If you want to become a beast without a soul, without a mind, you will obey him. But if you obey him, you cannot be a Christian man. I accuse him of violating every precept of Christianity. I go further even than this. To serve him is to serve the very spirit and essence of evil. To obey him is a crime before God. You know of whom I speak. Today I speak his name. His name, good people.
Pastor Niemöller.
Yes.
You are under arrest.
The name of his evil men, good people, is Adolf Hitler.
Come down from that pulpit, Niemöller. We will come up and get you.
His church is closed. His congregation dissolved. By order of the Führer.
Why, Niemöller, why? Money? You do not want money. Power? I offer you position as bishop of the new German church. I will build you a new cathedral, a glory of the world. I will make you great with honors.
But Christ, where is Christ in all this glory?
In Germany, there can be only one God.
There is only one God in Germany, and I serve him now.
Why cannot you understand this? You are a military man. Don't you see what we are trying to do? A soldier cannot turn his other cheek. A soldier cannot feel that the meek will conquer and he is brother to his enemy. Germany must have her own religion.
And you are her God?
A man cannot serve two masters, Niemöller. It is myself or Jesus Christ. Come to me, Niemöller. Stand beside me. The world lays open like a treasure house before us. Shake my hand. Come, shake my hand.
The hand is the hand of the Antichrist.
I do not deny it. For the God of Germany, Niemöller, for the mastery of the world by that God, take my hand.
Herr Hitler, if I did not believe that you will die soon, I would strangle you this very minute.
Niemöller!
A new cathedral, is it? Bishop of Germany, is it? You whelp of Lucifer, you beetle of the underworld, you Antichrist. You will build me cathedrals. You will make me glorious.
You are hanging yourself, Niemöller!
1,000 priests lie dying in your jail. The blood of innocence is dripping from your hands. But you will not hang me. And you know you will not. For if you do, the sleeping wrath of the German Christians will wake and crush you like a bug. May I leave this building or am I under arrest?
Go. You may go.
Let him go. The whole city knows he was arrested. They'll say he beat you down.
There is no hurry. This is your affair now, Rudloff. In 6 months, I want the living body of Martin Niemöller. And in such good condition that it will stand erect under the robes of the Bishop of Germany. In 6 months, Rudloff, or it is your life.
You are listening to Paul Lucas as Pastor Martin Niemöller of Berlin on The Cavalcade of America, sponsored by DuPont. Ripped from his pulpit in the midst of his sermon, Niemöller has been brought before Hitler and has been thrown into a concentration camp in an effort to break his opposition to the Nazi state. As our play continues, we see Pastor Martin Niemöller in his cell, being taunted by the Gestapo.
Well, that made you comfortable here, Herr Niemöller? They tell me you complained of the rats. They only brought the rat in to keep you company, Herr Pastor.
Well, no matter. You are ready to sign the document, Herr Niemöller? Just sign your name.
No. I told you no.
But it only says you agree with your government.
No. Hitler will not take me. He will never, never have me.
Very well, Herr Pastor. I will come another day when you will be more amenable, I trust.
Faster! Faster, you mongrels! Around in a circle! Around in a circle, march, march! Halt! Niemöller, come here. Here, put on this cap.
A dance cap? Is this supposed to be...
Put it on! There. Now look at him, you swine! Niemöller, stand on one foot. Don't he look pretty? Now, hop to me. Now, come on, hop. You dunce. Turn, hop to the wall. Lively now. Hey, stupid, hop back to me. Now, don't let the cap fall off. Now, back to the wall. Now, come on. Come on, holy, holy, back to me now. Faster, faster.
Can't. I haven't the strength. Let me go.
Oh, Herr Niemöller,
I have here a paper for you to sign. Your name, just your name, and you will be free, rich, powerful. Here is my pen.
Go away. Let me alone.
Just your name. It will only take a moment, a few strokes of the pen, and this horror ends like a dream. Take the pen. Here.
Rudolf, please go and tell Hitler.
Yes, what?
If he has left in him one spark of humanity, he must stop this. These men are turning into idiots. Last night they made a priest break his crucifix and spit on it. And then they shot him. And I had to watch. They make me watch all the executions.
Yes, I know. It is a horrible thing for you, Herr Pastor. It's ridiculous for you to stay here. Take my advice. I am with you. Just sign this agreement to support the government. I will have you out in 10 minutes.
The German people must know that it is possible for a human being to have faith enough to stand against him. If I sign, they will know resistance is not possible.
Very well, Herr Pastor. As you wish.
Oh, Lord, my God, lift up my heart. I am not iron. End it. Deliver me. He must not have me. He must not have me. Oh! Oh! What was that? Who is out there?
I'm so sorry the gun went off, Herr Pastor. You're not hurt?
What do you want? Go away, please. Don't ask me again. Don't ask me.
Very well. I'll not ask you. Heinrich, bring in the box and the old man.
Come along, old man. Now step lively.
All right. Set the coffin on end. Upright. That's it. Now, stand inside it, old man.
Oh, please, shoot me now and get it over with. Don't wait.
For God's sake.
This is a little test of your Christian principles, Niemöller. We are dramatizing it since you may have become a little slow-witted from your inactivity here.
What does it mean?
You can save this man's life if you are willing to take his place in the coffin. Or, of course, you can sign the paper. Your choices are quite simple. Otherwise, he will be shot, and you will be allowed to dig his grave.
You are trying to make a murderer of me.
Oh, that's unfair of you. I'm only trying to make it easy for you to sign this paper. Christian principles.
Tell the old man to get out. I'll take his place in the coffin.
Oh, no. Don't do it, Herr Pastor. My death means nothing. My life is at an end anyway. Millions of Germans look to your resistance as the inspiration of their own. Give me your blessing, Pastor, and I will die in peace. I cannot hold out any longer, but you are still strong.
God, forgive me if I do wrong. The Lord keep your spirit, brother, and welcome you into his kingdom.
All right. Take him out and get it over with. Now, Niemöller, march. You will have the privilege of digging his grave. Tomorrow, we will bring you another.
Kirsten in the next cell. Those planes, you hear them?
Oh, curse on them.
No, no. They're not Hitler's planes. They're from England and America, Pastor. I just got the word. Listen. They're going toward Berlin.
Toward Berlin?
Yeah.
Yes. They are. They are coming over.
Niemöller! Sign it! I command you to sign this agreement. This very minute. I command you.
Command? Yes. Quick now, Nazi. Draw me the list of your commands. But quick before your world comes down.
Sign it!
Sign what? The paper's melting in the sweat of your palm. You shake like a rag in the wind. Don't you understand me, Nazi? The commanding is over. Your whips are burning. Listen. Listen to the sound of those angels. They are coming with fire from the heart of the world.
Shout! Command! Build the walls of your dungeon until the clouds wet them. It matters nothing now. Listen and go down. Hear it. The sound of wings over Germany. The world is born again.
Thank you, Paul Lucas. Ladies and gentlemen, in a few moments, Mr. Lucas will return to our microphone. Before we hear from him, we have a story to tell of another of the weapons being used in the fight against Nazism. This story goes back to 1917. And to the soldiers' emergency rations of hardtack and bacon, which they unflatteringly called iron rations. Well, maybe they weren't as hard on the teeth as iron, but it took real iron men to carry them because they were packed in a metal box, a big tin can about a foot long, and one box held one meal. It took a husky soldier to carry meals for a full day. In this war, a soldier can easily carry a full day's rations in his pocket. And thanks to general advances in food technology and to development work by technicians of the United States Army Quartermaster Corps, there has been a tremendous improvement in the quality and nutrition value of his emergency field rations. Emergency rations must be light. They can't be bulky, yet they must guarantee a man his daily quota of calories and vitamins. So packaging is important. Packaging that is light, strong, and protective. Packaging that can be counted on to safeguard emergency foods under the most trying conditions. The steamy jungle of Guadalcanal, the insects and torrential rains of New Guinea, the dry, quivering heat of the African desert. The United States Army Quartermaster Corps, working with the DuPont Company and other manufacturers, has developed improved packages for these emergency rations. Sometimes cellophane is used in the transparent sheet you're accustomed to seeing on many of the products you buy. Sometimes, for even greater strength and moisture protection, cellophane is combined with other products like Kraft paper, glassine, and foil. Most of these laminations, that is, cellophane combined with these other materials, were virtually unknown before the war, although you will see plenty of them when the war is won because they are doing such a good job. It's easy to understand why strength and resistance to all kinds of weather conditions are so important in packaging materials used on rations. Sometimes the rations in larger containers must be thrown overboard from supply ships and floated to the troops on shore. In other instances, they're dropped by pack parachute from a plane. Ration K, the best known and most widely used of the field rations, provides a can of meat or cheese and a package of cigarettes, along with a protective bag of specially processed cellophane containing biscuits, a candy bar, soluble coffee with sugar, a fruit bar, dextrose tablets, and bouillon or lemon juice powder. Many of these components are given added protection with individual wrappers of cellophane. Here is one valuable wartime use of the same cellophane that preserves the goodness and cleanliness of the foods you buy, the freshness of the tobacco you smoke. A war job being done today by one of the DuPont better things for better living through chemistry. And now, the star of tonight's cavalcade, Paul Lucas.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Because my native land of Hungary is being crushed under the heel of Hitler's Nazi forces, I ask that you hear me now as a man and not as a player. Give heed to what you've heard. Remember that it was not just play acting. Remember that. Remember it and show that you do by buying war bonds. Thank you.
Geronimo! That is the cry of the paratrooper as he leaps from a plane into space. Next week, Cavalcade will present the popular screenplayer, John Hall in Soldiers in High Boots, an exciting drama of the men in our armed forces who go into battle by parachuting down from the clouds. Tune in Cavalcade from Hollywood next week when our star will be John Hall in Soldiers in High Boots. For some of the material used in documenting tonight's play, Cavalcade is indebted to Fleming H. Revell, publisher of I Was in Hell with Niemöller by Leo Stein. The orchestra and original score on tonight's program were under the direction of Don Voorhees. This is Clayton Collier sending best wishes from Cavalcade sponsor, the DuPont Company of Wilmington, Delaware.
This program came to you from New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Okay, well, number of things with this. This is an example, or was an example, of something that could not, or probably, well, I guess you could, but would not be done on radio or television today. They very successfully mixed Christian terminology and politics, and you're not supposed to do that these days. But they did it here, and they did it very well, and it gives you a great contrast to see how the world has changed since the World War II days and those before it, and a lot of those days after it. But now you couldn't get away with that these days. I noted before I played this that it was written, well, written by Arthur Miller, I guess, but I was hesitant to say anything because I wasn't sure if it was the Arthur Miller. And yes, the Arthur Miller who wrote the famous plays Death of a Salesman, The Crucible, All My Sons, etc., apparently had a radio career, which I was not aware of until I looked it up. And this was one of the plays that he wrote that never became a Broadway play or anything. It was just simply a radio play that I guess was broadcast one time, and that was the end of it. But Arthur Miller was a very, very famous playwright, married to Marilyn Monroe at one point. I confused him in my mind when I first read this with Henry Miller, who wrote one of the first X-rated books that became popular, Tropic of Cancer. But it's not Henry Miller, it's Arthur Miller. Okay, so we got all that right. So, happy Easter to all the friends and listeners of the Good Old Days of Radio Show from me and Daniel. And thank you so much for all your support in this program. Hope you are still getting enjoyment out of it. You must be, or you wouldn't be listening. And we'll be back next week with more. But since this is Easter in a few days, we thought we'd give you this for Easter. And I think it was worthwhile. So thank you very much for listening, and see you then.